For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is Tuesday evening, December the 27th, 1977, at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp with John Boney speaking on the Kingdom of God. Side two of this tape is Sunday afternoon, January the 1st, 1978, with John Boney speaking on the Kingdom Now.
Never. that would not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I live Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving pleasures that won't satisfy, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Come and quench
that just makes me think of the years and years we've traveled together. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Sit down for a few minutes, everybody. It's time we had a little bit of the Word. John Boney's going to come up here and minister to us for a few minutes. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just praise the Lord for what I see taking place. You know, I somehow realize that it's just a token of that which the Holy Spirit is doing in this day. You know, the Word of God said that by little and by little, He delivers until He be exalted to inherit the land. I see that is what God is doing. And you know, I was thinking as I saw us just worshiping together the Lord and just ministering to one another together, I was thinking of the fact, you know, the Lord Jesus is much closer to coming back now because of what has taken place here even this night. Amen. The Lord Jesus is much closer to coming back now even because of what was ministered here tonight. Now, why do I say that? I think I say that on the authority of the Word of God. In Acts, let me turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 from verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Now I want you to understand what the scripture here is saying. It begins first, repent, change your minds, be converted, turn around, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And after the times of refreshing come, then He will send Jesus. Now why? Because the heavens must receive, must retain, must hold back Jesus until the times of the restoration of all the things that the prophets spoke about. And the prophets from the very beginning, all the way through, they spoke of these days. Every prophet prophesied of this day in which we are living. You know, many people sing and they talk about, give us the old time religion. I think we've got something better today than any old time religion that they had. For we are living in the day that all the prophets prophesied about, even the day when everything is being restored that the prophets spoke of. And I rejoice in that because I see God restoring lives. I see God restoring people to a newfound freedom in the Holy Spirit that they've never had before. And I rejoice. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you partake of that even this night, that there is a restoration. And the thing is, when there comes a freedom, there also comes a restoration. For God, as He ministers to you freedom, ministers to you new life. As you begin to hear the Word of God becomes a new life to you. For the Word says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Spirit takes a rhema and drops it in your heart, it becomes spirit and it becomes life, even eternal life unto you. And I praise God because we are in the midst of that restoration. Now I want to tell you that Jesus is sitting in heaven waiting. Hear me? Jesus is sitting in heaven waiting until everything be restored, until the times of restoration come. Look at me in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting, or more correctly, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. From that time, Jesus has been waiting till all his enemies be made his footstool. I heard Brother Worley said that his folks, they prayed and they took authority over the principalities and powers that rule over this area. That is part of what this day is speaking about, folks. The Word of God says that when Jesus returns, that all the kingdoms of this world shall have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And that's precisely what God is doing here. Until every earthly kingdom becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Sometimes, spend some time reading through the book of Joel. That's the book that speaks about restoration. Amen? Let's turn there for a minute. How long am I supposed to talk here? If you say till I run out, that's a different story. The book of Joel. The book of Joel, that's a good book for preachers. But the book of Joel begins, and you notice that there just seems to be destruction all over the land. There seems to be darkness all over the land. When you read in the end of verse 12 of chapter 1, we notice it speaks there about that joy is withered away from the sons of men. And I think that is just the way it is in our day. That most of God's people, joy is withered away from them. There is no garment of praise. There is a continuing spirit of heaviness. And it is in the light of that, that the very next verse, verse 13, it says, gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering, the drink offering is withholden from the house of God. And we're doing this tomorrow. Sanctify your fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. And that's precisely the point we are at now, even in this camp. And then chapter 2 begins, speaking of the age that we are in now. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And folks, again I say, I hope that in your spirit you hear the sounding of God's trumpet. I hope in your spirit there is a word that's been stirred up there by the Holy Spirit. And in your spirit there is an excitement and an anxiety that has never been there. For this is the day that God by His Spirit is shaking men out of their sleep. When God begins to visit a people, the first thing that He does is He goes to those who are asleep in Zion, to those who are slumber, and He goes to those and gives them a chance to come out of their sleep. The trumpet of God, the messengers of God are being sounded back and forth. I think the words that have been ministered here even this week so far, there has been a divine trumpeting. A word that has been quickened by the Holy Spirit. Somehow letting us know what God is doing. What God is saying. And hear me tonight again as I say to you, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Awake thou that sleepest and call upon thy God. Awake and God shall give thee light. That's the word of God. Too long has the church of God been asleep in giants. Too long has the church of God been impotent, powerless, a weakling. And truly as God lives, God's going to cause to rise up in this earth and arm your people, a people who are strong and know the power of their God. Amen. Well, guess as well you say amen because it's going to happen. Because God is surely doing that, bringing forth a people. And you read through Ezekiel chapter 2, and you notice there it speaks about the army of God that God is bringing forth. Read Ezekiel likewise of the restoration of bone coming to bone. You know at the end of the chapter, of that portion what it says? And they stood up. What? A great army? Amen. That's what God is doing. When you get on down to the end of chapter 2, and I want to read from from verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, people? Do you believe that? Now, let's take it personally. Do you believe that for yourself, that God's going to do great things for you? Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord shall do great things. That's the word of God. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. The pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree, the vines will yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. Now, could I tell you tonight that there is a greater outpouring of God's Spirit that is going to come upon this earth, I believe, before the Lord Jesus comes? I believe there has to be a greater unleashing of God's Spirit among God's people. And I somehow sense in my spirit, folks, that we're right on the threshold of it. The former and the latter rain. I really believe it. I believe it. And I want to tell you, if you believe it, you're going to receive it. If you believe that that's going to happen, you're going to be a partaker. As you believe, you receive. You know, I always marvel at the fact that in Hebrews chapter 6, it speaks negatively of some who partook of the powers of the world to come. I believe some of God's people will in this day partake of the powers of the world to come. Don't ask me what it all means. I don't know. And really, I don't care. But I know that some of God's people will undoubtedly partake of the powers of the world to come. Let me continue reading verse 24. The floor shall be full of wheat. The fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I like verse 25. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Is it interesting that God sent among us an army that ate up many of our years? Many of the things that have happened that have spoiled God's purpose, God has sent an army amongst us. A lot of things have almost seemingly withheld the plan, the purpose of God. But God has promised to us that he'll restore unto us the years, the palmer worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar have eaten. You say, my God, we've lost so much time from that which you're doing. So much time have gone by that we've wasted. And there is so much left to be done. God has said that he restored to us those years. I don't know how God is going to do it, because God, yet for the elect's sake, is shortening the day. But I think God is going to allow just a greater unleashing of his power within his people, so that that which took 30 years will take 3 weeks. I believe I'm seeing it. For whereas there were some people saved and 30 years walking in the Lord and had not grown a single inch in the Lord, now I see a band of young men, young women, young people in the Lord coming forth. And in a little time, beginning to know the power and the strength of their God, and rising up in power and might, and doing exploits for God. It's God who's doing it. God is restoring the years that the palmer worm, the canker worm have eaten. Beloved brethren, you accepted from God And God will restore to you those years. Forgetting the things which are behind. Looking forward. And press towards the mark. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ah, folks, I think of this day that we are in. And I want to leap for joy. I want to shout. I want to dance. And rejoice in the God of my salvation. For I know that God is doing a work in this earth. Whereby he glorifies himself. The thing the Lord continues to say, for he showed thee as I live. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And I say in the midst of that, even so come, Lord Jesus. Because Peter says, haste the day of the Lord. And I think it is as we just come into that measure of freedom, as we come into our inheritance, so to speak, that we hasten the day of the Lord, because that's what he's waiting for. Do you believe that?
Amen.
God's waiting.
Amen.
God's waiting on us. Amen. God's waiting on us. The Lord Jesus is sitting in heaven waiting on us. Folks, until the King, even Jesus Christ, rules and reigns in us. May I tell you tonight, he's not the coming King. He must be the King who is coming. You hear me? He's not coming to be king. He must be king now who is coming back. And I tell you, we talk about the kingdom of heaven as though it was someplace in the sleep by and by or pie in the sky. The kingdom of heaven is the king having dominion within his people now. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. The king ruling and reigning now. Hear me. Romans chapter 14, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. He that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now that's what the word of God says. And I often tell people, I don't care if there's nothing beyond this life. It is my desire to have the kingdom of heaven here and now. The kingdom of God here and now. He that in these things serveth Christ, he is acceptable unto God. Isn't that a testimony? A testimony that the things that we do are acceptable unto God. They're pleasing unto God. But beyond that, he that in these things serveth Christ, he's acceptable to God, and he's approved of men. Amen. That's what the word of God says. Now, I'm not going to continue more, except to remind you folks, Jesus is in heaven, waiting until the restoration of all the things that the prophets spoke of. You partake of your restoration. Be restored in spirit, in soul, and in body. Folks, don't settle just for restoration in spirit. But remember this, that you must be restored in your soul too. That's what God is doing in this period. You see, you read in the Bible many times about the word sober. That word sober, literally translated from the Greek, means to save the mind. And to be sober is to have your mind saved. God has a salvation for your mind. And that's precisely what God is doing. Taking people whose spirits are saved and saving their mind. In the future will he take care of your body. Well, let him work now until every thought be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen?
Think not that you've assembled here for frivolity and
a good time, for it is that. It is in the Lord. But more than that, we have a work to be done. We have an army to build. You and I are going to fight. Yes. I've brought you here to equip you, to unite you, to bring you into the full force of the things that are happening right now.
Hallelujah.
Right now. For the enemy would like to discourage us. He would like to put things upon us. But I am greater, saith the Lord. I am much greater, and I have already won.
Yes.
Heed my words. Listen to me. Worship me. Learn of me. Do the things which you are instructed this week to do, so that you can become mighty warriors. Mighty warriors, victorious over all the throes, all of the bombardment of the enemy, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Indeed shall be, shall hear a noise among you. Indeed it shall be a certain sound, trumpet. Near me does he hear the voice sounded forth. Rally ye together, for the Lord shall fight for you.
Hallelujah.
For I say unto you, my people, that I will raise up amongst you a people powerful and in might, a people who know the Lord your God, who shall do great exploits. For yea, indeed, I tell you, in this day must every kingdom become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. So stand ye together in the Lord. Be strong, quick, be like men, and be strong, said the Lord your God. For indeed shall I trumpet in the midst of you, said the Lord your God, and I shall call ye together. So hear ye, my boy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory unto Him. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, Jesus. Let's stand in symmetry. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God be almighty.
Afternoon, January 1st, 1978.
We need your prayers. We desperately need your prayers. We are as astounded as anyone else that God would choose us to come here for this deliverance center. And we need lots of prayer, because in the heavenlies, there's constantly a warfare going on against this place. And many times we have pulled down these strongholds over this place, and they've been pulled down this week. We have had no interruptions, really, by the enemy. We have risen up. We've been up there looking down at him, tramping him underfoot. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians. We have had some really, really serious cases this week. They're very sobering to me. I wonder, honey, would you mind standing up? This little lady came in here with leukemia last night, all the way from Kansas. You know, when we get rid of the cause, the body will heal itself. We get rid of that cause, out of her body, that enemy, that alien that does not belong in there, then the body, the bloodstream will heal itself, and we're just believing. Free and healed. I don't think she'll mind me telling you that she had been to a fortune teller. They had Edgar Casey books in their house and Ouija boards. And we get curses put on us. We don't even know about it when we do these things. If we knew about it, we'd naturally not do it. The devil doesn't walk up and say, I'm the devil, I'm going to attack you right now. He comes very slyly. But I believe that she was set free last night. Do you believe that, honey? Praise God. And we commanded every vein in her body, the bone marrow in her body, every fiber of her being to receive the healing power of Jesus Christ. And I believe her body is doing that right now. How many believe? How many believe? Praise God, I believe that. Brother Boney is going to come and speak. And just before he does, let's all stand and come on up to voice to sing. And let's sing that we have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him.
We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him.
Particularly praise the Lord for the privilege that we have of being here with you, experience the blessings of the Lord together with you. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's so good to be house of the Lord. It's so good to be a brick somewhere in the house of the Lord. Amen. Just being part of what God is doing. I'll just share for a little while with you. In Luke 11 verse, let's look in Luke 11. And again, we want to praise the Lord for the deliverance being brought about by the sovereign purpose of God here. And we want to show you the intention of God as stated even in the portion here with regard to these deliverances. Luke 11 verse 20. I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. And when we look over in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And the end of God in deliverance is not just for the sake of deliverance. Deliverance is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. He told you the word of God said that by little and by little, you shall drive them out until you be exalted to inherit the land. Excuse me. To come into your possessions. Possessing your possessions. They're your right. By the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, And through deliverance, that's one of the ways that you come into them. God has afforded it unto you. And you see, for many people that have experienced deliverance here, and they wonder, now I'm delivered, what else do I do? And I don't know if it was sufficiently emphasized this week, but deliverance is not an event. It's not an experience. Deliverance is not something where somebody waves a magic wand over you, say a few magical words, and then everything's all glory. Deliverance, folks, is a continued, and that's part of the purpose of God here. That's part of the intention of God for you, that you may walk out this deliverance. And if the finger of God has touched your life in deliverance, it is for the purpose of establishing the kingdom of God. If you have been touched by God and you've been set free, God's purpose has been and still remains that it would be that his kingdom would be established in your life. In Obadiah verse 17, but upon Mount Zion, we spoke about last night, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess her possessions. And if you have problems finding Obadiah, it's because it's just one page. It's somewhere between Genesis and Revelations. Verse 21, and saviors or deliverers shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau. And notice the result again. And the kingdom shall be the Lord. Look at me in Revelations 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Amen. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And I hope you know that you are part of Christ. You make up the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus is just the head. And as Brother Ferris brought forth a few nights ago, age, the Lord is bringing forth the feet company that shall pull underfoot the enemy, that shall defeat Satan, that seed of the woman, that seed of the crush, the very head, the very center of the authority of the satanic hole in this earth. For he shall reign forever and ever. As I said to you the other night, he is not the coming king. He is the king who is coming. It's not when he comes, suddenly something's going to happen and he's going to be your king. He's got to be the king now who is coming. And the kingdom that he seeks to establish, that shall be forever and forever and forever. Even when we talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, just the kingdom that has its genesis, has its beginning in the heavenlies where we are seated with God. The place out of which our authority comes, right in the throne room where God is. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a song that said, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. Wheresoever the sun's rays are, Jesus shall reign there. And I tell you, one of the things that continually impel me, One of the things that stirs within my being is that the Word of God has said that this gospel of the kingdom shall, and that's not a maybe or if it, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the earth. I know we shall never ever gather again under the same circumstances here in this situation. If these meetings this week have accomplished God's purpose, some of you may be hurled into other places. Some of you will be scattered abroad to communicate, to fellowship, to koinonia in the kingdom with others, to bring others into the self-same fellowship. And I pray God scatter you. You know, many times we like the security of our in-group. We like being with those that we know quite well. But if the purpose of God is going to be established, and if the Lord Jesus is going to come back soon, then some of you who have had the finger of God touch you, now isn't that wonderful that the finger of God can touch you? When you're delivered, it is the finger of God has touched you. Hallelujah. The finger of God. And to a certain degree, because of that touch of the finger of God, you're enabled. You have a new freedom just to come into the Lord. And as you go, feet say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. That was the message that Jesus had. The message that John the Baptist had. That was the message that Paul preached the very last two verses in the book of Acts. You notice that Paul settled in his hired house preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Folks, you have no other message to preach but the gospel of the kingdom. None other. The Lord really laid that on my heart even a couple of weeks ago when we were in prayer with some. The Lord spoke, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I tell you, if you want to be a preacher, know that there's only one thing God has told you to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Now, the average preacher doesn't spend much time preaching the word. But if you start preaching the word, you'll preach the kingdom. And as you go ministering the kingdom, that thing's going to be established in hearts and lives. Amen? As you go bearing the king, he's going to be communicated with others, even through your life. Hallelujah. I just love to challenge you this afternoon. Challenge you and challenge you. Letting you know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I believe in a kingdom, but I believe in a present one too. I believe in it now. Right here amongst us. Just stand and worship the Lord. Let's do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shall never care in the best of all your high man. She'll never come so here.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bow in name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah, Lord. You're worthy of all the praises. You're worthy of all the honor. You're worthy of all the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Se rimaneva suri lo scondoliamo, andrimi la gioia, gianna via solando la vesto cattivo. Praise God, praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.